The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races!
Some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Top two picks in many fantasy drafts are out for Saquon Barkley. It's the rest of the season for Christian McCaffrey. It's going to be a few weeks as he has a high ankle sprain. We'll update you on more injuries right now on Fantasy Football Today, your Monday edition. Adam Azer with Chris Towers and Ben Schrager. Of course, we'll have the waiver wire tomorrow with Heath and Jamie. All right, guys, and not only that, no, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. We're going to talk about snap count, like Myles Gaskin dominating snap counts. Wait till you find out who's leading the NFL in red zone targets. Wait till you find out how many carries inside the five-yard line Austin Eckler has this year. That kind of fun stuff that you need to know as a fantasy manager. But my first question to you guys, last week I thought the waiver wire would be pretty good. Naeem Hines had an uneventful day. Benny Snell, uneventful and really bad day with bad stats and a fumble. It was a bust. Malcolm Brown, bust. So is week two waiver wire? I guess it's the week three waiver wire going to be better than last week's waiver wire? Ben Schrager?
You're going to have guys who do better. I just don't think we're going to see it as here are the top four running backs. You have to pick them up. They're all in great situations because, look, I think Mike Davis is the clear-cut guy, number one. Beyond that, Giants running backs, Deion Lewis maybe. You know, Daryl Henderson could be great, but Malcolm Brown isn't that hurt. And then the wide receivers from last week did bust pretty much all of them. But if Russell Gage is still out there, I love him. So I would say, no, it's going to be a little better, but it's not going to be as clear-cut as last week.
And Russell Gage is like way out there. It's actually shocking. He's only 36% rostered right now. He has to be the top wide receiver. But yeah, I think week one, the problem with early in the fantasy football season is week one, you've got all these questions. You think you get answers. You look at the Colts and you say, well, they're going to use Naeem Hines a bunch. You know, even with Jonathan Taylor and Marlon Mack, Naeem Hines is going to have a significant role, just like Austin Eckler did in Los Angeles. And then week two comes around and he plays like 11 snaps and gets one target. And so what matters more now? Do we overreact to week two the way we overreacted to week one? It's always a really difficult balance to strike.
Yeah, I think look at the difference. I mean, the Colts lost to the Jaguars in week one. They were in a back and forth game and they clobbered the Vikings. 28-11 really had that game under control, 15-3 at halftime, 18-3 at the end of the quarter. So maybe they just didn't need Naeem Hines that much. But you're right. Like, let's not overreact. I'm concerned that the Giants are going to sign Devontae Freeman. And if you go pick up Wayne Gallman, and are we in agreement that Wayne Gallman is the guy to get instead of Deion Lewis?
I'm not. I don't know why the guy who was a healthy scratch would be the guy to get.
Because Barkley plays his role and he doesn't play on special teams, Gallman. So I just don't think they needed him. Didn't you say there was a tweet, Ben, from a Giants beat reporter?
Yeah, the Giants beat reporter before the season said if Saquon Barkley was to miss time, it would be Wayne Gallman's job. I think it's a 50-50 split if it's the case. I think Deion's shown that he could carry the load, and Wayne Gallman has also shown that he can start. I think it's a 50-50 split, but Devontae Freeman gets signed there, and things are just an even bigger mess, and Freeman would be the guy to get.
Yeah, I would think if Freeman signs, the other two guys are mostly irrelevant. Yeah. But that offense is pretty stinky anyway, so
it is, and if Gallman is the guy, he's not going to be the pass-catching guy. That's going to be Lewis. Last year, Gallman had 24 touches, like 110 total yards, and two touchdowns in his one start against Washington. Then I'm not sure if he had another start and he got hurt early in that game. Or yeah. But anyway, he succumbed to injury, and then Barkley came back. So and that's an example of opportunity where a running back isn't necessarily that good, but you get the right matchup, you get the right opportunity, you know, you can take advantage of it. So don't want to just completely poo-poo whoever's going to be the starting running back for the Giants. And then in terms of Darrell Henderson, we talked about yesterday, he's probably the number one waiver wire priority for a lot of people. Well, Malcolm Brown got hurt in that game yesterday. He hurt his finger. We don't know the severity of either Cam Akers or Malcolm Brown, but if it's not that serious for Brown, like, Darrell Henderson had 12 carries. Eight of them came in the fourth quarter. And Brown only had one in the fourth quarter. So I don't know how to interpret that. and right as we record right now, we don't have an update on Cam Akers. So, you know, you got to make these claims. You got to take some chances. But same thing with Jerick McKinnon. Just don't know the severity for Tevin Coleman in particular. We do know it's a, what's a mild MCL injury, I think, for Raheem Mostert. So, all right. I don't want to go around in circles. We'll have more updates tomorrow, right?
And McCaffrey did say today in a press conference they expect 4 to 6 weeks for him to miss.
That sucks.
Yeah, and that's Mike Davis is, I think, clearly the top waiver wire target. I would rather have him than Henderson. I would rather have him than anyone in the Giants offense. Like that to me, you know, the fact that he was used, you know, targeted 7 times in the fourth quarter after McCaffrey left. Had like 70 receiving yards on those 7 targets. He showed he can be a viable starting fantasy option that year in Seattle. I was actually surprised the Bears didn't use him more last season. And I think he'll be pretty useful.
Okay. The wide receivers will be interesting too. Even if Davante Adams is fine, which I hope, I think Marquez Valdez-Scantling is still an interesting guy to pick up. Deeper leagues, KJ Hamler, Golden Tate, if Sterling Shepard looks like he might miss multiple games with a toe injury. So that is all on tomorrow's show. And talk about it in our Facebook group, why don't you? Fantasy Football Today, join us, our Facebook group. It's a lot of fun. Click the link in the episode description or just search for Fantasy Football Today on Facebook and join the group, ask some questions, start sit questions, Q&As, and, you know, good stuff, fun stuff. Thanks to Robert Thomas and Ben Schrager for moderating that group. So I've been talking about how it's been so high scoring. Every time.
What's that?
This is like, I'm not always looking at Ben and Chris, just the way my setup is, but like every time I do a podcast with Chris, just like, oh, there's a big cat tail in Chris's face. Just like,
they just like, as soon as I start talking, they're just like, oh, it's time to walk in front of the camera and step on the computer. And it's great.
Well, so in my mind, it was like, wow, scoring must be way up. But let me give you guys the breakdown. Weeks 1 and 2. 2019 versus 2020. Last year, week 1, 776 points. This year, 758. So week 1 was actually higher scoring last year than this year, which was surprising because we had a bonanza of a week in week 1. However, we got 2 games left in week 2 and 795 points already. Sorry, we have 2 teams left. We have 1 game left. 795 points already. That's more than week 1 last year. That's more than week 1 this year. And week 2 last year, 618 points. It was a low scoring week. Went from 776 in week 1 to 618 in week 2. But this week has been huge. But, you know, I was trying to compare like the averages for the top 12 quarterbacks year over year. I don't think we have enough yet to just assume this is going to be a mega high scoring season. Because like week one this year, the top 12 quarterbacks averaged 29.4 fantasy points per game. In week 3 last year, they averaged 29.9. You know, it's just, we need a bigger sample and it's off to a very high scoring start, especially week 2. But we saw that a little bit in weeks 1 and 3 last year. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts about that. I know from my fantasy matchups, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, damn, I'm having a huge week. And then you look over and your opponent is having an even bigger week, you know?
Except for all the injuries, because there's a lot of goose eggs. But yes, no, it does make sense. The lack of preseason, the lack of training camp, the lack of tackling, guys can connect better on the offensive side than they can the defensive side. And that's, some people were theorizing that before the season started. I would expect it to come down a little bit, but obviously, over the years, the overall trend has been up and up and up. So it's not super surprising that it's up this year.
Up so far. Yeah, we'll see what happens in week 3. And we'll see what we get tonight.
I think there was a record in passing touchdowns for week 1. I think I saw that. I think the record previously was like 2016. So I don't know what the difference in scoring was in week one, but yeah, for me, it felt like every single one of my team was like challenging a single game scoring record for my league or like last place by a mile. That was just kind of how my week went. But it's going to be impossible to say because of all the injuries, right? Like there's so many talented players, multiple starting quarterbacks, multiple number one running backs, multiple number one wide receivers that are going down, that it's going to be hard to say what exactly this season would have looked like without that. But the injury should have always been something we expected, you know, not specifically to Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey, but we saw this in Major League Baseball where there were a ton more injuries. I think like five times as many IL stints in the first like 3 weeks of the season than the previous year.
Yeah, but I feel like it's a little bit different because we're not seeing like the soft tissue injuries. You know, I don't know what to make of high ankle sprains and torn ACLs. It's not like pulled hamstrings. And
they did pulled hamstrings.
Didn't happen though. In week one, though.
A lot of them happened in the first like week before the season, and then a lot of them happened in week one. You had Cortland Sutton was dealing, or no, yeah, he was a shoulder.
That was a shoulder. There's always injuries.
Kenny Galladay with a hamstring, Mike Evans with a hamstring.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams now with a hamstring. There were a ton of soft tissue injuries. And I think, you know, ligament injuries are, I'm not a doctor. Surprisingly, I would probably still be doing this if I was, but I would imagine that going from no contact and limited reps to playing your full regular NFL role can cause an increase in risk of injury to ligaments as well.
I don't know. I have no idea. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about this. So really, I brought up all the scoring because this question here is our email of the day at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. It is from Toto. Dear Scarecrow, Tin Man, Dorothy, and the Cowardly Lion. I would not watch
Wizard. Hold the line.
I wouldn't watch Wizard of Oz if we're on TV. It's too old and boring. Is that
sure? I wouldn't watch it either, but
that's an okay take, right? This is an old movie. It's really old. I was listening to the pod and a point was brought up that I've been thinking about lately. Streaming quarterback is not what it used to be. I've had much success following your guidelines and drafting a quarterback late. However, this year I ended up with Wentz, who I agree with Heath when he says stinks. It's been only 2 weeks, but we've seen a lot of massive quarterback performances. My question is, would you give up a startable asset to go get one of the top six QBs, or are you comfortable knowing you have depth, especially given how week two went? Are you better off streaming the likes of Goff, Tannehill, Burrow, or would you trade a Dobbins or a Hunt for Dak, Cam, Kyler, Josh Allen, etc.? It seems like no one has running backs.
Well, I would definitely trade a Dobbins.
Yeah, that's like, it depends on which guy we're talking about. If it's Dobbins, yes, I would do that.
How about like, I would trade, maybe, I don't know if Heath would do this, but I would trade Kareem Hunt for Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what you can do this week is there are a lot of fantasy managers who need running backs, and you can see if you can get a top tier quarterback plus someone else. But at the end of the day, if you have Hunt as your RB4, yes, Kyler is fine. And I'm cool with it for Dak too.
It all depends on how we're defining late round quarterback. Matt Ryan's the number three quarterback in standard scoring. He was not an early round pick. Cam Newton's number five, also not an early round pick. Aaron Rodgers, number six. He was certainly not.
Right. I know.
Wentz is the bad example,
right? You know,
what's that?
Wentz is the bad example.
Right. Yeah. Like that's the thing is it, depending on how you like, Ben Roethlisberger's been fine through two games. Mitchell Trubisky has actually been pretty good. Garoppolo before the injury, like Jared Goff, like I don't think this necessarily fits. Like, yes, if you have Russell Wilson, if you have Kyler Murray, you feel a lot better about your quarterback situation, but I don't think it's necessarily true that late round and streaming type quarterbacks have been worse. I think it's more, you know, you have a couple of guys who are early round guys like Deshaun Watson and Tom Brady who have been disappointing rather than anything else.
I think that if you project out, though, you know, the guys who look like right now that they're going to just be total studs, Mahomes and Jackson, even though Jackson had a quiet game, Mahomes and Jackson, and basically the top six, except I'm not sure about Watson. Of course,
swap Allen and Watson.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like we said on yesterday's show, Allen has had the Jets and the Dolphins, and Watson has had the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Don't worry. Things get a lot easier for Deshaun Watson.
I'll have the Steelers this week, and then things will get a lot easier. But I'm worried about him, especially with Fuller injured. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like these running quarterbacks. I think there's a big difference between Kyler Murray and Ben Roethlisberger, for example, or Dak Prescott and Jared Goff. And yes, you can get by with Goff as your quarterback, but are you going to be losing like 6-7 points a week to your opponent who has one of these top 6 to 8 quarterbacks? So yeah, I'm fine paying up for a quarterback because I realize I made that mistake last year. It wasn't a mistake, just didn't work out. I waited and waited, and I took a lot of Goff. I took a lot of Cam, and they busted. And this year, I was like, no, I'm getting Kyler Murray wherever I can. I did think it was important to try to get a top six guy, and if not that, then I wanted to get like Matt Ryan, So I kind of feel this email. I think there's going to be, personally, I think there's going to be a pretty big gap between the streaming guys and the whatever it settles up as top eight or whatever. And I kind of want one of them.
Yeah, the thing I always struggle with the quarterback question is how many quarterbacks are there who you will definitely start against everyone? Like 3 or 4?
No.
Like you're not sitting Wilson. You're not sitting...
I would say at least 6 at this point. And that's the thing about the mobile quarterbacks, right? Like, okay, so it's Mahomes, Jackson, Dak, Murray, Wilson, for sure. Not Watson for me. I can't sit Josh Allen at this point. It's probably 6, maybe Matt Ryan is 7 at the moment. It's going to change throughout the year, right?
Yeah, and that's, first of all, a lot of that's already changed.
Maybe Cam Newton.
Maybe.
Like if the way he's running the ball.
But he was a late round pick, and so was Aaron Rodgers, and so was Matt Ryan. Well, mid to late round pick. Late round picks in our leagues, mid round picks in most leagues. And so that's why I just don't quite think that this actually is really a thing. I think it's just kind of, it's been 2 weeks and the guys who have been good for 2 weeks, now we're thinking they're a step ahead, but some of those guys weren't being drafted like that. And the next 2 weeks could show something completely different. Yeah. And honestly, if you added Gardner Minshew after week 1, or if you drafted him as your streamer, I think there's a pretty good chance he's going to be a top 6 quarterback through the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season because his schedule is so good.
All right, let's move on here. Thank you for the email, Toto. We got some more emails coming up later in the show, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Seattle 35, New England 30. We didn't get to this game on the Sunday night podcast that we did. This was an exceptional game. Schrager, did you like that play call at the end?
I did. There should have been some sort of pass option in there, but I liked the play. It had been working all game. You knew Pete Carroll was going to sell out for it, and you trust Cam, and it didn't work out. But I did like the play call. Seattle defended it really, really well.
Yeah, it was awesome. Okay, so Russell Wilson has had stretches. Like, actually, it was like the first 8 or 9 games last year. He was the number one quarterback in fantasy. He is, throughout his history, a little bit streaky. Do we want to sell high on Russell Wilson? Do we want to sell high on Cam Newton? They're in different tiers, I would say, but at least for now. But are these sell high quarterbacks, in your opinion?
Yeah. If someone wants to give me an RB2 for them, or an RB1 or a wide receiver one. If someone wants to give me Julio Jones for one of those guys, yeah, I'll definitely do that. Because I trust my ability to find streamers who can not give you what Russell Wilson does, but who will make up that difference easier than I believe I can do that at running back or wide receiver.
And at this point, I'd rather find a deal where I can give up Russell Wilson than I can Cam, because there are still a lot of Cam doubters out there. And Russell Wilson does have a lot of name value in a lot of leagues. And, Cam's volume is there. Russell Wilson's super efficient, and he could be super efficient all year. But like you said, Adam, he has been streaky in the past. But if someone's willing to give you a startable RB1/2, wide receiver 1/2, and you have to give them some sort of running back plus Russell Wilson, I'm doing it, because I think Russell Wilson is still, in my mind, a 5th-6th round pick. And if you could get better value than that, you pull the trigger.
Okay, so would you give up? Would you rather have Tyler Lockett or Russell Wilson rest of season?
Lockett. Tyler Lockett.
Man, like if they really are going to just be a more aerial attack here, then Russell Wilson is going to be more valuable than Tyler Lockett.
Then they'd probably throw more than 28 times.
Well, that was this game. They threw 35 times in the first game. So he's at about what he averaged last year, but you're right. I mean, he's not throwing that much. He has 9 touchdowns and 11 interceptions this year, or 11 incompletions this year. So
yeah, he's just playing way over his head, and there's going to be regression. Russell Wilson is, I think, on a per pass basis, arguably the best quarterback in the NFL, but you know, the volume is 31 and a half attempts per game. So that would come up to 504. That would probably be close to a career high. No, that would actually be fewer than last year. They're actually on pace for fewer pass attempts. He's not going to keep averaging 10 yards per pass attempt. He's not going to have a 14% touchdown rate all season. You know, he's going to come back down to earth, and that goes without saying to a certain extent, but I think the narrative that, you know, let Russ cook is starting to take over, that the Seahawks are actually changing, and they're really not changing their offensive philosophy.
I don't agree. Well, I don't know what I don't agree. In week one, they certainly did, because they threw a lot early.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they did yesterday.
They also threw a lot early yesterday. The Carson carries came late.
Yeah, then they're doing it.
Carries.
They're letting him cook, man. He threw a pick six on the first possession.
If the difference between letting Russ cook and being this frustrating team that doesn't let Russ do anything is he's on pace for fewer attempts than last year.
By one per game right
now. Sacks. There haven't been many scrambles for him.
I mean, yesterday running for 39 yards was encouraging. And also both games, game script, they were winning. They were up. They did not have to have him cook in the second half. So I don't know. I'm not out on Russell Wilson by any means. And I still think he's the number four quarterback. But yes, it's just in general, you've got a number four quarterback. If you can sell him high to someone who's QB needy and get a very startable player, I'm doing it.
Okay. Must start player. You got to get a must start player.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. News and note, by the way, Chris Carson. Yeah. I suspected this much. I didn't make much of the Carlos Hyde thing last week, and Carson had 17 carries to Hyde's 5. And Carson now has 3 receiving touchdowns this year. He entered the season with 3 in his career. So that's pretty interesting. Kenny Golladay expected back this week. Michael Thomas looking like 2 to 4 weeks for him. Tyrod Taylor is apparently going to be the Chargers quarterback when healthy. I would think he's on the clock, though. If he has one bad game, things might change. I don't know who the 49ers are bringing to MetLife Stadium next week. Jimmy Garoppolo, Tevin Coleman, Raheem Mostert, all injured. And then Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas on the defensive line. Both may have torn their ACLs. I didn't see an update on Thomas, but obviously looking bad there. Are they going to lose to the freaking? No, they're not. Don't have an update on Cam Akers or Malcolm Brown at the moment. Sterling Shepard, like I said, could miss multiple games with a toe injury. Cortland Sutton's out for the year. Paris Campbell did not tear his ACL, but he's going to be out a little while with a knee injury. Will Fuller played through a hamstring injury. And then some defensive injuries that just kind of went under the radar. Malik Hooker out for the season for the Colts. Mm-hmm. Tavon Young looks like he's out for the season for the Ravens. It'll be the second straight year. Last year he played 0 games. This year 2. He's their slot cornerback, and he's really good. And there's more. There's some, like, the Eagles lost another offensive lineman. I don't know the severity there. Isaac Seumalo. They can't afford another lineman, but it happened. There were a lot of linemen injury. I won't go through all of them. I'll update you all throughout the week.
The Fuller injury was weird because they never announced anything. And I don't think anybody, like, I think Deshaun Watson was talking about, like, well, he's trying to, you know, stay healthy and get the treatment that he needs. But the team actually never said anything. And it was just sort of, we saw him getting stretched on the sideline. But he clearly wasn't 100% because he only played like 60% of the snaps. It was a weird situation.
Well, I asked the listeners for 5 big questions for our Monday show. And here they are, the 5 best ones. Matthew T. said, why did I draft Joe Mixon so early?
I don't understand the like teeth gnashing with Joe Mixon. You should never, I don't want to say never, but
be nice now.
You should. No. I'm not even saying that. It's just there is this tendency to draft for what you wish will happen. And sometimes that can work out really well. Christian McCaffrey coming out of his rookie season, there was some thought that maybe Thomas Jones? No, who was the... I can't remember. Not Thomas Jones. It was...
Who, the guy that they
Jonathan
signed?
Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah,
there was some thought that, oh, Jonathan Stewart would continue to split work with him. But you could say, you could look at it and say, no, Christian McCaffrey's going to get all this passing work and he's going to be the number one back. That can happen. Joe Mixon, 3 years into his career, 1 year under his belt with Zach Taylor, there was never a sign under Zach Taylor that they were interested in using him more in the passing game. His big second half was mostly he had 24 carries per game. That was never going to happen for a full season. So the step forward for Mixon was either this offense is a lot better, or he needed to have more passing work. And that's just never been the case. And so you have to avoid wishful thinking.
Well,
to a certain extent.
The other step forward would be he just scores more touchdowns because
right,
he's
that's
not,
what I meant. The offense is much better.
Okay, but yeah, but he could still score more touchdowns, you know, just
sure.
Five rushing touchdowns last year on 278 carries. The thing is, I think if you need a running back right now, like this is the guy I'm targeting. First of all, he's not a 15 catch guy. He's not Sony Michel. He's a 30 to 35 catch guy. Okay, that's valuable. You're not going to be a top five running back like that. So maybe without Barkley and Kamara, maybe it's possible, but almost certainly Mixon's not going to be a top five running back. Can he be a top 10 running back? Yeah. Absolutely. So I didn't draft him in the first round. I probably asked Schrager because he was higher on Mixon, but like he's still going to be really good. It's just he's off to a bit of a bad start. But this guy, look at, you know, you do not have to worry about him losing carries to Bernard. You do not have to worry about him losing goal line carries. I mean, maybe it'll happen occasionally.
It was really, really funny when everybody was complaining about Gio being in that drive last week, and then he got the goal line carry that almost was a touchdown.
Yeah, but it's probably
it's
not
just
kind of
what happens sometimes when you're on the field for the pass.
Yeah, and when you're in the hurry up offense.
But Mixon is going to get a ton of work, and you can take some solace in that. It's just he's probably not going to be a top five guy. But, I mean, Schrager, you liked Mixon a lot. How are you feeling right now?
Yeah, I'm feeling okay about it. In the leagues where I got him at the end of the first round, I wanted the guaranteed touches, which I'm getting. But the passing work that I'm hoping will increase isn't not increasing. Like the four catches, four targets last week is encouraging. Gio Bernard's not going away in the sense that he's going to be the passing downs guy and the come from behind guy, but Mixon is not involved in the pass game. And yes, averaging less than 3 yards a carry was ugly against Cleveland, but the guaranteed touches makes me want to go buy some more Joe Mixon, go trade for him. But yeah, it's tough when you picked him over a Josh Jacobs or an Aaron Jones at this point.
Yeah, he's a high ceiling or high floor, relatively low ceiling number one running back.
Kind of similar to Derrick Henry, but Henry is better and like could get going in the second half in a way that Mixon probably can't. But like,
yes, we've seen Henry be a better running back.
Right. It just, he's also a second half running back. I mean, Henry is a great example. Henry and Mixon both had disappointing first halves. Henry at least was like a low end number one. And then, you know, if you continue to get that work, your touchdown luck could change, I guess is what I'm saying. All right. Second question here. Todd Gurley. It's about Todd Gurley. It's from Russell. Is Todd Gurley done as a starter? He had 21 carries for 61 yards. He has two catches this season. What do you guys think? Is Todd Gurley done as a starter?
No.
I'm still flexing him for sure. A guy getting over 20 carries, 20 touches, whether they're carries or catches, either way, he's got a chance at the end zone every single week. He's going to run a little better than his 2.9 average from week two. And yes, I'm not encouraged if he's my RB1, but I'd love to keep flexing him, and you're probably going to end up starting him at RB2 based on all of these injuries.
Yeah, like he's getting touches. He doesn't seem to be that good anymore. The passing downs work especially has been discouraging, but like we're talking about like James Robinson as a potential must start running back. So yeah, Todd Gurley, you're still starting him.
All right, this is from Drew PR. I actually got two from Drew PR. Good ones here. Which Indianapolis pass catchers can we trust? And which Denver pass catchers can we trust?
Jonathan Taylor.
Pass catcher, that's it?
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton and nobody. And even T.Y. Hilton, like,
What a dud.
He dropped and he it wasn't a super easy touchdown, but it was a should have been like 44 yard touchdown. Over the shoulder grab, not contested. He just dropped it. He's had three drops in the first two games, I think. And if he catches that, things look a lot different for him. So I would still go with Hilton. Beyond that, nobody in Denver.
I like Noah Fant in Denver. I do like Noah Fant.
Yeah, I'm curious about Fant. So I know he had a good game with Driscoll, but if Locke's going to be out 2 to 6 weeks, and what does that mean for Noah Fant? But Sutton being out is obviously huge for him. And like I said, Hamler in deeper leagues, Judy will get his targets. He'll be fine. Just this is going to be a bad offense.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think you can trust Judy as a starter. He's got to prove a lot because he hasn't done it yet.
Mo Alley Cox, how about him? If Jack Doyle's out again, you going to give Mo Alley Cox?
If Doyle's out, Cox will be in my top 15.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, it was a good sign that like he had a costly turnover. It wasn't officially considered a drop, but like a pass hit him in the chest and it was intercepted. And they still went back to him quite a bit. So that was a good sign. If Doyle's out, I think Mo Alley Cox is probably someone you're starting in week three.
And Wes Purcell wants to know, should I trade Alvin Kamara and receive DeAndre Hopkins?
No.
No.
Probably not.
But, okay, you've got Michael Thomas out. You've got Adams injured. Is DeAndre Hopkins the number one wide receiver in fantasy right now? Not in terms of fantasy.
Kamara is the number one running back in fantasy, if not number two.
I'd go Zeke, I guess. But
my
if you were drafting today, right now, who would the first wide receiver off the board be?
Like literally right now, when we haven't gotten an update on Devontae Adams.
Uh-huh.
Like right, literally right this second,
right now.
Maybe DeAndre Hopkins. But by the time this podcast publishes in a couple hours, we could get Devontae Adams is fine. Don't worry about it, guys. Like he was standing on the sideline with his helmet. He was talking to the trainer. They were up by 2 or 3 scores at the time. Mm-hmm. It seemed like he could have gone in if they needed him to. So my assumption is Devontae Adams will be fine. Obviously, I'm not Devontae Adams, so I can't say that for certain. But I would still take Devontae Adams over DeAndre Hopkins.
What about Tyreek Hill, though? Has Hopkins moved ahead of Tyreek Hill?
He has for me.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, has Tyreek Hill really lost much value?
No, but obviously,
I don't think so.
Obviously, it's
Hopkins gained a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
I think in PPR, I would.
I think we just got to take that L on DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I've taken it.
We just screwed that up.
Not Dave.
DeAndre Hopkins was available in the third round in a lot of leagues, and it seemed stupid to me at the time. Turns out it really, really was.
Now, Dave was the one who was the highest on Hopkins, so hats off to him. All right, let's look at some snap count stuff, some interesting stats. Let's go through it here. Miles Gaskin just dominated running back snaps for the Dolphins. He's not going to get the goal line work, it seems. Jordan Howard's going to do that, unfortunately, or maybe that will change. Like, I did see Gaskin in there inside the 10-yard line, so he could have some opportunities, but he's, like, rostered in 20% of leagues. That's definitely someone you want to look at. Yep. Gus Edwards had one carry in the first half. He had 5 carries with less than 6 minutes left. At the time, it was 33-16. So really, when the game really counted, I would say my interpretation is Mark Ingram was the lead back for the Ravens. That might change next week, but I do think that's worth just mentioning that because Edwards ended up with 10 carries to Ingram's 9. Dobbins had 2. But most of it for Edwards was late in a blowout.
What was really interesting was Dobbins actually played the same number of snaps as Edwards. I think it was 20 each. Only 6 of Dobbins came on rushing plays, which usually the passing downs guy is someone that we actually, you know, start to value more. But in Baltimore's case, because Jackson's such a dynamic runner, they don't throw to their running backs all that much. So it wouldn't really be that valuable of a role, but it has been pretty close to a 30-33 split yesterday.
All right. I'm going to read you just like a snap count or usage stat, and you just give me a quick reaction. Here we go. Josh Kelly had 2 carries inside the 5. That gives him 3 this season compared to 0 for Austin Eckler.
Eckler needs Herbert at quarterback so he can catch passes. Otherwise, he's not an RB1.
I think he's an RB1 either way. I just think Joshua Kelly might be a top 15 back also. He's fifth in running back carries right now, I'm pretty sure.
Julian Edelman, 48% of New England's air yards. Give me a reaction to that.
He's more than a flex in non-PPR and PPR. I want to start him in both.
Yeah, he's looks different so far.
Yeah, he looks great, and he's a reason why shouldn't necessarily look so much into snap counts on a week-to-week basis, because his snap count was very low in week one, but they didn't really need him. They threw 20 passes, and Cam Newton ran a ton. So we'll keep an eye on what we expect the scores to be in Patriots games, and maybe that will dictate Edelman's usage. Chris Herndon blocked on 36.4% of snaps. That was the most in the NFL, I'm assuming, for a tight end.
Yes.
And he only played 74% of the snaps. And Adam Gase did say they needed him against that pass rush. But Chris Herndon did not. He spent a lot of time blocking.
They were missing like three starting defensive linemen after the first quarter. I don't know, man. Like, it's just the Jets are a mess. I thought Chris Herndon was a breakout candidate. Hopefully he still can be. But at this point, you know, there was one league where I drafted him. He was my only tight end. Whoops. That's bad.
Logan Thomas ran a route on 86.8% of dropbacks, and he gets Cleveland this week.
I'm still looking to have him. I don't want to drop him. I am discouraged by how inaccurate Haskins is when he throws at him, but he is throwing at him a ton.
Nick Boyle had more snaps, a lot more snaps, than Mark Andrews.
It happens.
Happened a lot last year.
Yeah. Julio Jones dropped a 41-yard touchdown catch or pass from Russell Gage. I have both of them in one league. Yeah. It would have been nice.
Yeah, that was one we're probably talking, like we talked about on FFT on HQ today. You know, is Calvin Ridley the number one running wide receiver in Atlanta? And the answer is maybe, but who cares? Because Julio is going to be awesome. And nobody would be even thinking about Julio Jones if he just catches that pass. There was no excuse for him to drop it. It was just a bad play. And Russell Gage would, I think he'd be a top 12 wide receiver in fantasy through 2 weeks if that play had gone through.
Laviska Shenault played 10 snaps in the backfield.
Has played through 2 weeks. Sorry.
Oh, through 2 weeks. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That, they're looking to get him the ball in any way they can. I think it's definitely a big deal.
Okay. Let's talk about wide receiver or running backs lining up out wide or in the slot. David Johnson's done it 25 times. Joe Mixon, 12. Malcolm Brown, 16. How about that? David Johnson, 25 times lining up wide or in the slot. Joe Mixon, 12 times. Malcolm Brown, 16 times.
The Mixon one, like we were talking about earlier, if Zach Taylor wanted to use him that way, he is fully capable of being a dynamic playmaker in the passing game. You know, there was the Jason Luckenfora story before the season where, you know, he said Joe Mixon could be the Christian McCaffrey of the AFC. I think the skill set is there. And we saw a little bit of that in the first half against Cleveland. He had that one play where he, you know, basically ran a route out of the backfield. It, you know, basically was like a slant out of the backfield. And he took it for 18 yards. It was a great play. And on the next play, they motioned him out wide. I think it was I want to say CJ Uzomah scored a touchdown on that play, but it was Joe Mixon split out wide and, you know, the ball went to that side of the field. It's just a question of whether Zach Taylor is going to trust him there. And I don't think you should believe it, but if he does, Mixon does have high upside.
Okay. I'm just going to pick one more here. David Montgomery had three runs yesterday of 10 plus yards. I think they were all in the fourth quarter. He got 50 of his yards in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. He had only 16 carries of 10 plus yards in all of 2019, and he had three of them yesterday.
He looks really, really good. A lot better than I remember seeing him all of last year.
Yeah, he was one of those, slimmed down, got in the best shape of my life guys. And he couldn't be worse than he was last year running the ball. And one of the things with David Montgomery that I think got overlooked a little bit, he actually was seventh in the NFL in air yards amongst running backs last season. And on a per target basis, he was actually number one among anyone who had at least 25 targets. His average depth of target was about 3.7 yards, which doesn't sound like much, but for a running back, that's a big number. And his touchdown catch in the first or second quarter yesterday was a downfield throw. It wasn't a designed one. It was a Trubisky scramble, but you know, he caught it about 8 to 10 yards down the field and then made some plays.
Yeah, I'm happy I have him.
Valuable role if he can be an effective player. That is a really, really valuable role the way Matt Nagy uses their running backs.
Yeah, if he's your flex, you know, that's a win right now on David Montgomery. And Aaron Jones leads the NFL in red zone targets with 6. Aaron Jones, ladies and gentlemen. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603. For complete details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm going to read a few emails before we get out of here. Richard from California. Dear Ed, Warren, Ray, and Edgerin. Oh, I know them. Those are Hurricanes legends. What'd you say, Chris? Talking smack?
Supreme Court justices.
Supreme Court justices.
Oh, sorry, sorry. They're players from the worst college football team in the city of Miami.
Oh, I'm sorry. You mean the 12th ranked Miami Hurricanes? That worst team?
There's only 11 teams playing right now.
We took your best player. He transferred to Miami because he didn't want to play for that stinking FIU.
Congratulations on your kicker.
He's the kicker. I have Saquon Barkley. I'm very thin at running back. I have Josh Allen and Cam Newton. Let's see. It's a 14-team dynasty league with standard scoring. Which of the two should I trade, and who should I try to get? Give me running backs. Here's Josh Allen and Cam Newton. Make a trade for this guy. Make a trade for Richard.
Get rid of Cam. I'd like to hold on to Josh Allen, especially in dynasty. Can you send Cam for David Johnson?
I need better than that.
Be better than David Johnson for Cam?
Well, I'm not a David Johnson
might be
guy.
A number one running back right now.
I'm not a David Johnson guy, but
I would
try to get Mixon. I don't think you can do it straight up.
You might be able to get Mixon for Allen.
I would do that.
And that's what it comes down to, is which one can I get the biggest upgrade at? If I could get, you know, a Mixon for Josh Allen, I would do that, because I do think Josh Allen's probably going to be better than Cam Newton, but probably not definitely.
Mm-hmm. Matt in NorCal. I've been offered Julio Jones for Calvin Ridley straight up in PPR. What should I do?
Take it.
You'd rather have Julio?
I'd rather have Julio.
I don't see any reason to do it one way or the other. I don't see any reason for either. This is the kind of trade that, like, it's a 50-50 thing, and if you make it, maybe you feel good about it, but most likely it's either a wash or you feel bad about it. And so I don't like the position for position, two guys in the same tier trade. I think Julio and Calvin Ridley are pretty close. You know, Calvin Ridley has 21 touchdowns in his first 31 games. Julio Jones has 21 touchdowns in his last 61.
Last email here's from Nicholas. What do you think about Miles Sanders and David Montgomery for Alvin Kamara?
Even deal.
Man, my thought is, like,
I'd rather have the Sanders Montgomery side, unless I've got, you know, if I've got like four running backs who I feel good about, then I'll take the upgrade. But I think Sanders is an elite running back.
I just want depth this year. Like, if we're going to see a lot of injuries this year, running back depth is going to be the most valuable thing. So, and the way Montgomery's looking, and 23 touches for Miles Sanders. All right, I'll do one more. I lied. Half PPR, grade the trade from Michael. Give up Allen Robinson and Zach Moss. Allen Robinson and Zach Moss. Get Devontae Parker and Melvin Gordon.
I love it. Better than Parker, but I think I would.
I think
that might be a B. I think Gordon's going to be better than Moss, even with, you know, Driscoll. I think Driscoll actually might be good for Gordon.
All right, flip it this way, Chris. Allen Robinson or Melvin Gordon?
Robinson.
And Zach Moss or Parker?
I think Parker by a mile.
Okay, so, I think they're very close.
Yeah.
I have Robinson over Melvin.
Parker looks exactly as good as he did at the end of the second half last year. He has been, we talked about it on that Twitch stream before yesterday's games, Adam, but he's basically been a matchup proof number one fantasy wide receiver for like the last 10 or 11 games going back to last season. Obviously week one, he only had the four catches for 43 yards. That was in the first half, and that was with Stephon Gilmore shadowing him. And he was on pace for, you know, a 15 fantasy point game. He goes up to, what, 15 yesterday against Tre'Davious White. I think Devontae Parker's got to be viewed as a top 20 wide receiver at least.
Yeah, the question is, will he be if they go to Tua? But I'd do this just to get Melvin Gordon over Zach Moss. Last thing I'll say is, there were a number of wide receivers I was worried about yesterday with tough matchups, and they all came through. And that's just weird. I mean, they all came through. Terry McLaurin had a massive game. DK Metcalf had a huge game going up against Gilmore the entire time. Devontae Parker scored. Stephon Diggs had a big game. Byron Jones left with an injury. Yeah. There was one more.
Stephon Diggs looks like one of the best wide receivers in football.
He can do that. Like,
he might be a top 10 guy right now.
But they all just crushed these tough matchups. So maybe that's just a sign of the times, and it's a good time to be on offense right now, but thought that was interesting. I want to thank Chris and Ben. We'll talk to you tomorrow with the Waiver Wire. Make sure you listen to Fantasy Football Today in 5. Quick 5-minute episode first thing in the morning. Go ahead and subscribe to that anywhere, Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen. Go for it. All right, we're out of here. See ya.
Bye.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.